Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Okay, we've all been trapped in our homes. It hasn't been particularly cold this year, but people are getting tired of the winter. And I've had lots of conversations with people. Where can I retire to? Where's the
just
best place
get me
to retire?
Out of here.
Get me out of here.
Like, calm down. You just can't go anywhere. This is why we have magazines, experts, and research done on the top 10 places to retire with the Global Retirement Index. By International Living. They do this every year, and I love what they do. I'm going to give them a suggestion, Dave.
Okay.
I'm going to say, give us the bottom 10, not just the top 10, because I'm planning for your retirement, and I want to send you to the bottom 10.
I'm thinking it's Siberia leads the list. I don't know.
You think so?
I don't know what their health care is like, but I do know their weather's not very good.
I don't think they have health care.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't know either.
Antarctica.
Dan Preschner, who's been with us before, is back. Senior editor, internationalliving.com and the International Living Guide to Retiring Overseas on a Budget. Wow. Fantastic stuff, Dan. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk about where the best places are to retire in 2021. I'm curious, sort of the top three or four on your list.
Top three or four? Number one is Costa Rica, a perennial favorite. Then followed by Panama, Mexico, Colombia, and Portugal, our European entrant. Those are the top five right now. So any of those will probably do you right.
Yeah, no doubt. Why do they make – so what makes the top of the list?
We've got a bunch of categories, and we rate these places as far as housing, benefits and discounts, visas and residence, fitting in, development, climate, all important, health care, incredibly important as well, and three other categories, including cost of living. So we crunched the numbers, we found out what the totals are, and whoever comes out on the top of all those numbers wins the list. And Costa Rica wins this year with an average ranking of 85.2 in all those categories.
Dan, what changed to push them into number one? Because I don't think when we did this with you last year, they were number one.
No, they weren't.
Actually, Portugal was number one last year. They recently changed their tax scheme so that now expats have to pay more taxes. They had a golden visa program where if you bought a bunch of property at a certain price, you'd automatically get a resident visa. Well, they quit doing that because it became a little cost prohibitive, and everybody was buying luxury Lisbon condos. So it wasn't working out the way they wanted it to, so they changed that. That dropped them in the rankings, but it's still a beautiful place to live.
And then Costa Rica, so it was second last year. Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
It's a perennial favorite, and we had to factor in how these countries did with COVID. It's a retirement index. It's long-term. It's not just a place where people did great handling COVID, but you have to factor that in because that plays into healthcare, that plays into governance. So Costa Rica did a good job, and it boosted them in the rankings this year.
Dan, give us our listeners a bit of an idea of what does it cost to have a typical lifestyle. I know you're in Nebraska right now, locked in there. We're up here in Canada. There's a certain standard of living that we're accustomed to. If we want a similar standard of living in Costa Rica, Panama, Mexico, your top three picks. What are we looking at from a cost perspective?
When we do these indexes, we're looking at somebody with a retirement income, probably a fixed income, maybe a Social Security. We'd like to keep it at $2,000 US, $2,500 US a month or under. You can get a high quality, very, very acceptable lifestyle, not giving up anything in medical care or amenities for $2,500 US or less a month. And all of these places qualify.
When you look at Costa Rica, Panama, Mexico, is there anything between those three that's unique that attracts North Americans to come to versus the other two? What's most attractive?
Yeah. Panama has been dealing with North Americans for a century with the Panama Canal, so it's really easy to fit in. If that's what you want, Panama is your best bet. More North Americans have second homes in Mexico than any other place on the planet. It's affordable. It's right next door. Everybody can speak a little Spanish. That's why Mexico always places. And Costa Rica hasn't had a standing army, I don't think, since the 1950s. Almost 100% literacy and almost 100% carbon neutral. So if those are high on your list, Costa Rica is your best bet. you just pick the things that mean the most to you and make the determination with the rankings on the Global Retirement Index and start doing your research from there.
When you look at the cities, and I'm more familiar with Mexico than I am with Panama and Costa Rica, mm-hmm. we're seeing more and more North Americans go outside of the key tourist destination yeah. areas into smaller towns, more gated communities, so on and so forth. Is that the trend in the other two countries? And where in Mexico do you think are the best places for newly retired individuals to go to?
Oftentimes, that is the situation. You get off the beaten track, you get out of the larger metropolitan areas, your costs go down. I mean, that holds true in France and in Ireland, not just in Mexico or the rest of Latin America. But Susan and I have loved Merida in the Yucatan for years and years. And it's a big enough metropolitan area that it's got one of everything, but the costs are still low. It's a well-run town, beautifully maintained, very peaceful, very quiet, very safe. It gets really hot in the summer, but if you never want to shovel snow again, it should be at the top of your list.
You just had to do that, didn't you?
Of course.
So, Dan, it all sounds exciting. Everybody wants what you just described. But there are some things that you need to consider and think about before you just pick up and leave. Why don't you walk us through a little bit about what people should be thinking about before they make this wholesale change?
Absolutely. These countries are their own places with their own histories, their own economies, their own ways of doing things. The rest of the world is not North America light. It's not just like living in Canada or the United States at half the cost. You have to probably learn a few phrases in a foreign language. You have to get used to a different kind of bureaucracy. You have to get used to dealing with people on their cultural level and not yours. For a lot of North Americans, that can be a shock. It's also a slower pace of living, a much more relaxed pace of living. And if you're a type A personality, you're going to have to get over that. You're going to have to learn to be a little patient and handle a daily challenge. There are obstacles to living abroad, obstacles you've never thought of. If you keep a sense of humor and think of them as interesting challenges rather than obstacles in you enjoying your preferred way of life, you'll be a lot better off. You'll be a much happier expat.
I'm ready for this. I've been working with Dave Popwich for 11 years. So I have to be patient and expect the unexpected when
you
it comes.
You work at light speed. It would be awesome to watch you in an environment where you needed patience.
I have patience.
I love it.
I have patience.
Dan, you've often said to us in the past that one of the best ways to experience international living without making the financial commitment to leaving your country is to go rent for a period of time and actually immerse yourself in the culture and to see if you can actually, if you will enjoy that experience. Give us your comments on sort of your experience and what you did.
That has never been truer. I mean, don't do as I say, not as I do. Susan and I just sold the farm and moved and discovered that it was the right thing for us. But there's no reason for anybody else to do that. When you can go to a place, rent it, spend as long there as you possibly can to get a feel for what it's like to really live there. Then follow your gut. If it's the place that you thought it was and you want to spend your retirement there, bang, make a buying decision or keep renting. Or rents are cheap. Do whatever fits into your budget. But try before you buy. That just makes sense.
Dan, I want to thank you very much for joining us, kicking off the new year right. Lots of opportunities for people. And boy, when you throw the word budget and sunshine into it, it gets a lot of people's attention. So thanks very much for your time today.
Our pleasure, guys. Thank you much.
Dan Preschner, Senior Editor, InternationalLiving.com and the International Living Guide to Retiring Overseas on a Budget. Okay, that might be the lifestyle people choose. We got to figure this out and then how to fund it.
It's the question is, you know, where do we go? How do we get there? What's it going to cost?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you figure that out, you come back to your home, you open up your statements on your portfolio, and you go, how am I going to afford this lifestyle for the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to be able to do this? Well, you got to have a strategy and a plan. And how do you bulletproof your retirement? We're going to talk about that at our next upcoming seminar Tuesday, January 19th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Stick around after the break and we'll talk about the secret to great investment performance. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.